in the middle of a series called Don't Look Down. Whatever you do, don't look down. Let me recap just a few points, because this is week 7. And what I have said is this. Could you turn me down a wee bit? Would that be okay? God has a life for you that is way beyond the ordinary and the mundane. This is what we've been talking about. Life is a journey. And depending on how you approach the journey will depend on how much of the kingdom of God you see in you and through you. Because journeys are not easy. You start off with almost great intentions, full of enthusiasm and all this kind of stuff. And life has a way of dealing you blows, doesn't it? Anyone? Yeah, okay, thank you. And what we've been talking about is this, that even though that life can do that, we have a Savior and a King. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is stronger, he is greater, he is more powerful. He has more power and authority in his little thumbnail, fingernail, than we could ever hope or dream to see. And he's placed it in us. So the point of the journey is this, is to go, despite the difficulties, and they come, that we are called not just to be ordinary people, but God will take ordinary people and do something extraordinary with them by taking what is natural and doing something supernatural. And we've been looking at the story of Elijah. Let me just give you some of the pretty big things that we've talked about. What I've said is our final destination is heaven, but there's a lot of water to cross. If you're a Christian and you're holding on today for grim death, thinking, well, when I die, it's going to be okay. Let me tell you, there is greater fullness and a greater experience of life for you today, because that's what Jesus wants for you. John 10:10 said he came to give you life and life in all of its fullness. That was our starting point. And what I said is when you start on something, you can get cold feet. Halfway through, I mean, that behind me is me at the CN Tower looking down. Let me just say, I think I wet myself, okay, when I had to look down, walking across a glass ceiling 1,200 feet in the air. And what I said is this, on your journey, whatever you do, don't look down. Keep your eyes up at Christ, up at his promises, and don't, because when you look down and you take your focus and your gaze off of Jesus, it all goes wrong. Remember that. What I said is as well, God takes you in steps and stages. And we dare not miss any of those. The journey is about our capacity to be channels of of heaven's blessing increasing. We start out all self-centered, trusting God for just ourselves. But we saw in the story of Elijah that every step and every stage that God led him through was about his capacity increasing, not just for him, but at every step God brought other people in and said, Elijah, as I'm blessing you, this is for you to be a blessing to those people. What I said is then is this, how do you measure in your own life whether or not you're growing in God? Mature Christians, I said one week to me, every time somebody says, you know, I'm a mature Christian, normally I think, well, I'll not tell you what I think. Because when I look at the Bible, maturity in the Christian faith is, show me where your love is. This is how the world is going to know that we are real followers of Jesus, by how much we know. Nah, they're not interested. By how clever we are, they're not interested. How much love do we show? Whole different ballgame. Jesus said that mature Christians are not heads full of knowledge and 50 years of experience. True Christians, true followers of Jesus, will demonstrate their love for one another. And so my challenge that week was, well, how's your love on? Have you got your love on today? The more you bless, the more you serve, the more you give to others, the happier you will be, the more peaceful and the content you will be. It's the upside down kingdom of God. What I said as well was your breakthrough is on the other side of blessing somebody else. It's upside down, but it's the way that God's designed it. I said, remember that week where I said, God sends your provision to where he's asking you to go and not just having you sit still. We sit and we pray, God, will you bless me? Will you do that? And when we get everything in line, then we make a step. And God says, actually, I've provided everything that you need. Take a step, mix with faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Take the promises of God, mix them with faith, and go for it. And you will find all the blessing that you need. Because like Elijah and the ravens, he sent it in front of him. So it was to say, don't be afraid. Because if God has promised something in your life, and he's asking you to take a step, he's already sent the provision for you there. So in terms of your money, in terms of your relationships, whatever it's happened to be, if God is saying, make a step, it's because he's already sent what you need in front of you. But many of us don't see it because we won't make the step. And in the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about living expectantly. The Bible says that you will have what you say. It's not good enough to talk trash. God says that you have a divine calling and purpose on your life. You'll have what is in your heart and what you speak out. So don't limit God by thinking too small. Don't negate the promises of God by talking rubbish, whether it's to God or about people behind their backs. Take the promises of God. Let God birth a huge dream in your heart. And then encourage each other in this place and in this world to be people who see those promises come to pass. Amen. That is 7 weeks of teaching in 5 minutes. It's all on the website. You can go and look it up, because it's really important just for me to set the scene. Because what I'm going to say is this. A bit like my time in Galway. We're at the part of the journey where, for me, I kind of go, whatever you do, don't look back. I've said don't look down. And that's one thing. But what I'm going to talk about today is don't look back. I'm going to look at the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19, verses 19 through 21. I'm going to read them now. Let's see what it says. So Elijah went and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, "Let me go and kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and then I'll go with you." Elijah replied, "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." So Elisha returned to his oxen and he slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Let me tell you the key point of today is this. You cannot step into your new life with God, into your future, until you burn whatever is tethering you to your past. It's impossible to move forward with God into the incredible future that he has for you, into the promises and the purposes of God, if you keep looking back. And today I want the Holy Spirit, and I want in this place, as we look at this word this morning, for the Holy Spirit to minister to you into that place of those things that keep you tethered to your past. Because until we deal with what is in our past and the things that we keep going back to, we will never be able as a church or as individuals to really break through into everything that God has for us in our future. Does that make sense? There's a great encouragement here for people today. There's great help here today. And Elisha is a story that speaks, I believe, to many people right now. Now, let's look at this guy, Elisha. There's nothing glamorous about him. Do you know what I love about Elisha? He's not a miracle worker at this point. He's not a prophet. There's no evidence of him being a superman. There's no background to him about being a super holy man of God. What we see on this particular day when Elijah steps into his life is simply this. He's plowing a field. Nothing major, nothing exciting, nothing super glam. He's simply plowing a field. Now, the thing for Elisha is he was a grown adult at this stage, so he would have had this view every day. I don't know what your job is like. Does anyone think, oh, it's Monday tomorrow? I think that on a Saturday. I'm only joking. Oh, God, it's Sunday tomorrow. But you know when you're in routine, you know, Elisha, let's be real about this. He was driving oxen. That means his view from sunrise to sunset was an oxen's backside. In fact, not just one, 11 of them. Day in, day out. Wum, 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 wum. Every day, up and down a field. Now, his work was steady. By all accounts, we read that Elisha would have worked for a wealthy person. So while his work was consistent, it was not glamorous. He had the same views, the same rhythms, the same scenery, the same smell, day after day after day. Now, we have an expression here in Belfast which says this: at least you're not out digging the roads. You know that? When things are tough, well, you're not out digging the roads. Probably in looking at this story, it'd be, well, at least you're not driving oxen. Man, it would have been stinking. Now, it's not all bad. There's something about routine that's really important and vital to life. Holding down a job, holding down relationships, and many other things require of us the ability to be able to operate in a routine. And it's actually a discipline that we need to embrace and we need not to push against it. However, monotony can work against you in several ways. The things that used to bring you energy, things that used to excite you and bring passion to your life and to your walk with God, can become dull and drudgery if we're not careful. When you start plowing mindlessly, the God opportunities become to have to do this rather than flip, I get to do this. This is going to be really exciting. And that's where complacency incubates. Now, I want to say this first. The way that this grows is pretty deceptive in our lives. What happens is this. Life, because all of us here work regular jobs, doing regular things day in and day out. Let me speak into that. Nothing wrong with it at all. But if you get stuck and comfortable in a certain lifeless routine, it's going to cause you diffs. Because what happens is that's what happens. We get stuck in a routine. If we stay there long enough, we get dependent on that routine. Have you ever found that? I actually need to be doing this. Sometimes when we go on holiday, we panic for a few days, don't we? Because we should be doing, because we're out of our routine. You know the way people say you go on holiday or vacation? Let me be multicultural. And you head on vacation. And, you know, it's meant to be fantastic. See, for the first 3 or 4 days, I'm stressed out, thinking I better check my email, better check Twitter. Does any, who's locking up the church tonight? Did I switch the iron off? Do you know all that kind of stuff? Because we get so ingrained in routine and used to it. And then what happens there if you're afraid to leave the routine? Even though you've grown to hate it, you've become living in a rut. Even if God calls you out of your life, because we are dependent on the routine, we actually can get to the place where we're afraid to leave it. But I want to say to you this morning, if you feel a wee bit like Elisha in your position, your situation is reversible. Because we're going to see what God does whenever he steps into somebody's life. The story here tells us this, that this was an ordinary day for Elisha. The interruption to his life was not as he has expected it to be. He wasn't looking that day for a divine breakthrough. Elisha didn't get up that morning going, this is it. I've got another 7 hours of oxen bums to look at and then I am done. There was nothing about him doing that. He was just in the zone. He was doing what he was doing. He wasn't looking particularly, we're not told anything about him, expecting anything from God. But here's the incredible thing. As Elisha was doing his daily routine, God was watching over him. God was watching him from afar. God had him on his radar. God had something much greater for Elisha planned. He had a divine calling for his life because we know that God was speaking to Elijah about Elisha and Elisha didn't have a clue about it. I want to speak to some people here this morning and say you might think that God has forgotten you in your routine. You might be looking at oxen backsides every day or the equivalent thereof and thinking, God, where on earth are you? Do you know what this story tells you straight away? God has not forgotten you. You might not see him working right now, but God at this very moment is working in the fabric of your life. And at some point when the time is right, God is going to step into your life and he's going to bring you into your new future. But right now, I want you to don't look back and don't look down because you may not see him. You may not feel what he's doing, but he's watching over you. That's what we see with Elijah in the mundane stuff, in the ordinary stuff that God was working on Elisha's behalf. He was speaking to Elijah about him, and Elisha didn't even know anything about it. You've really got to need to concentrate on the Elishas and the Elijahs, okay? Because it gets really confusing. God's always working for you. This is such a simple word this morning. God is always working good for you. I want to call you back to that place where in your doubts and in your disappointments, where God seems distant and he seems far away, and God knows I've had many of those days. And the Lord has always been reminding me, as I've been taking one step in front of the other, particularly over this last year, I have never stopped watching over you or your family. I'm always working on good for you behind the scenes. I'm always working out circumstances for you. And I want to encourage your heart this morning to say that God is doing that for you. He's getting things ready. He's moving people into position. I believe the Lord spoke to me this week about husbands and wives. And husbands and wives here are not yet husbands and wives, okay? And I believe that the Lord wants to encourage some people in here this morning and say, you know what? He knows your heart and he knows your desire for a good, godly husband or wife, and he's getting them ready for you. This is what it looks like in real life. Don't despair. Don't throw the towel out. Don't try to take things into your own hands. It's at times when in the routine of normal stuff that if we're not careful, we'll start to look down and look back and miss what God is leading us to. We need to have a confidence this morning that in every detail, he's working it out for you right now. Amen? He's always present in your ordinary situation, always watching over you, planning and scheming for good. In fact, I love Psalm 139. It says here that I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell on the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me. There's not a minute, it's so simple. For God, I find the most simple things are the most encouraging at times. There's not a minute of your week coming up that God is not watching over your life. Not one minute. Not that just he's watching over you, he's actively working behind the scenes to bring you into your future. Does that give you confidence this morning? Now, what does Elijah do? What does Elijah do? It's very significant. When Elijah comes along to Elisha, he doesn't speak, he doesn't explain, he doesn't offer a rationale. In the story, what we see here is Elijah simply comes along and puts his coat onto Elisha. Really, really simple point. It's very significant. The coat represents the mantle that Elijah carried, and he clothed Elisha in it. And in taking on the garment, what happened was he took on everything that signified and represented Elijah. His ministry, his calling, his anointing, and his blessing was put onto Elisha. Now, what's the point of that this morning? Well, what it means is this. Elisha's future identity and authority came from what was placed on him at that point. And what does that mean for you this morning? Well, what it means is simply this. In Ephesians 4:24, we're told to put on our new nature, created to be God-like, truly righteous, and truly holy. The calling of God's in your life starts with that truth. If you want to move from one place to the next place, you've got to do it wearing the mantle that Jesus has put on you. We have said time and time again over this series that this is not about doing more, trying to please God more, getting more programs in place. It's about listening to the Lord, taking on ourselves true righteousness, true holiness, resting in the work of Christ and letting him flow through us. We are co-laborers with Christ. We don't do all the work for God. We don't have to do that. He says, I have a purpose for your life and for this city. I have a purpose to bring the kingdom of God in its fullness and in its power and in its strength. And if you will rest and receive and put on what I have given you through Jesus, you will see more, go further, go faster, and achieve more for the kingdom of God than you will ever do trying to work it up yourself. Man, it's a call. Taking on the righteousness of God is something that says, God, as I move forward, it's going to be in your identity, in your authority. I'm going to clothe myself in what Jesus has done today. I am not going to simply walk forward myself without your covering and you being all around me and in everything that I do. Why? Because if I do that, it will end in tears. If I don't take on the identity that Christ has given me, I will never move into my future. It's a really simple point. The calling of God starts with an incredible truth. He has made you righteous. We are a grace church. We teach about the goodness of God and the righteousness of God. We teach about the fullness of God being demonstrated amongst us. And that is never something that is generated by human effort or work. Never. And don't try it this week. Don't be trying to please God because you will always come up short. Simply put your faith full square into the work of Christ. Rest in what he has done. Receive what he has done for you and let that flow out of you to the world around you. And you will see more. Honestly, you will live, was it one preacher says, you'll live more accidentally for God than you will ever do on purpose. Whenever you rest and you say, God, today my identity is who you say I am, not who my boss says or my wife or my neighbors, or my whatever. Today, I am standing. I'm not going to look down, look to the sides. I'm going to look at what you say about me today, Lord. And what are the promises that you've spoken over my life? And I'm going to walk forward in those. I'm going to mix it Hebrews 4:2 style with some faith. Take some positive action on the promises that you've spoken to me. And as I rest in that, knowing that you've gone before me to prepare the way. Amen. That's what the mantle meant here. Now, I've got about 5 or 6 minutes and then I'm finished. And it's a really simple thing because we're going to take communion. Here's the interesting thing. God, in the ordinary things of the routine and your daily walk, is watching over you. Every minute of every day, working behind the scenes. And he says, have faith that I'm going to step into your life. When he comes in the form of Elijah in this story, what does he come first and foremost with? Who he has made you to be. Who he has called you to be. What are the promises over your life? And he says, put those on like a coat. And then Elisha does something really incredible. This cracked me up. If this is true, and all these promises are true, why do we not experience greater power and greater more? I want to say to you, before you just start dreaming massive plans, and I'm not saying don't dream those. I've said week after week, dream huge, God-sized, enormous dreams that require a move of God to see them fulfilled. Don't waste your time on dreams that you can do. Honestly, you only get one crack at this. You're only going around once. It's not a dress rehearsal. If God's going to put a dream in your heart, make sure it's a cracker. That's what he say. It's a cracker. Make sure it's a big one, okay? Now, but here's the thing, though. Before you start, because what happens is we end up living in cloud cuckoo land. Let's look at what Elisha did. And there's part of me thinks that Elisha is probably from the Newton Orange Road because he had a huge bonfire, right? For those of you who are guests, we're entering into bonfire season in the next few weeks. Silly season. It's going to be fun. But Elisha has a huge bony. When the mantle lands on his shoulders, he does more than simply run after the prophet. What I'm saying is this. When God calls you, when God speaks promises over your life, when God captures your heart, when God starts to put dreams into your life, when he starts to encourage you about your calling and your purpose, what did Elisha do? Did he just run after that straight away? No, he didn't. He understood that he was called. What he did was he turned around and he made sure that there was nothing for him to run back to. Too many Christians play both ends of the candle. Bet both on both horses, whatever analogy you want to use. I want to encourage you this morning that when we look at this story, that Elisha took the only thing that could supply him with a living, the only thing that could supply him with security, and he utterly destroyed them. Now, I am not suggesting that you go into your office tomorrow and burn it down. Because honest to God, you will be arrested, and it will be your own fault. Don't come to me and go, well, Elijah had a bonfire, so I set fire to the BT building. Please don't do that. Well, if you do that, don't say you heard it from me. I'm not suggesting that. It's a picture. It would have been normal in those days for Elisha to sacrifice animals, but he goes further and breaks the tools of his old way of life. Why did he do that? Well, symbolically, it meant everything. It was a huge statement. It was a decisive break from his old life. The source of his livelihood and everything that it represented, the stale predictability of life behind a plow. What does the plow represent? Well, it's anything that changes you to the ordinary. God has a great plan for your life, and if you want to see that come to pass, you're going to need to do the same. What do I mean? Is it physical things? Well, some of you may be in a job that is mundane and not in line with your calling. Well, do you know what? You need to listen to the Lord, because it might not be the job, it might be your approach to it. But what I'm talking about is mindsets. I'm talking about strongholds. I'm talking about fears. I'm talking about old habits. I'm talking about patterns of behavior. I'm talking about attitudes. I'm talking about unforgiveness and pride. Those things which tie us to the past and don't let us walk into our future. God says some of us in bonfire season around us here, we need to have a bonfire in our own lives. You have enormous potential for the kingdom of God. Enormous potential to see the truth of God and the love of God demonstrated and manifested in power and might in you and through you. What's holding you back from it? Because it's not God. I found in my own life that it's been a journey over these last number of months about forgiveness, about dealing with my own pride, about dealing with hurt, overcoming offense. I had a bonfire in my career about 5 years ago. Before we started this church, where I left my career. I understand what bonfires are like. They scare the life out of you. Okay, I was a banker, 12 years. And God spoke to me about, if you want to get into your future, you need to have a bonfire. So I burned every bridge. And you know what? See the banking system? It was fine whenever I left it. Can I just point that out? It's all after that. Honestly, that was September, and then it was all going wrong by October. No offense, Stevie. And... It's a bit like Titanic. We were in the Titanic building yesterday for an award ceremony for Eve. And, you know, the only thing they didn't have in the walls, they have all these kind of nice Belfast scents, but they didn't have "it was fine when it left here." I was really disappointed. I thought, they should have really had that one up. That's a wee joke for all the guys. "It was fine when it left Belfast. I don't know what happened." So I understand in my career what it's like to have a bonfire. You feel afraid. As you watch something go up in smoke, you can feel like, oh my goodness, what? Because that was my security and my hope. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And that's why it's so important to know that God's looking over every single bit of your life. Because as you, metaphorically speaking, set fire to the mindsets, the unforgiveness, the people who have hurt you, you need to let go of it. It's not going to hurt them. It's just going to hold you back. It's going to hinder you. It's not going to hinder them. Do you know all that sort of stuff? I don't know what your plow is. Whatever's chaining you to the ordinary, the mundane, and the routine. Don't just think, I need a new job. Lord, bless me with a new job. It's not about that. That may be the case. But often I think most of those changes start in here. I think that's where God does most of the work before the outside things change. He does the work on the inside of us. It's oftentimes easier to say, God, will you change my wife? I've never prayed that. I wouldn't know, but people have told me that that's what they pray. I've definitely heard somebody in our house pray, change my husband and change my kids. My boss is in Egypt. Sweet mercy, that pastor is a disaster pastor. Please don't laugh. You can laugh, you're okay, but all you other people quiet. But you know what I mean? God changed all them. And God said, why don't you set fire to some of the stuff on the inside of you? I'm calling you. I've already put my mantle on you. I've called you for a purpose. I've called you for fullness. Now, what is it that's tethering you to the old? Some of us need to be real honest about that today. Because there's times where I find my security, particularly over this last year, and able to retreat back to, well, anger, frustration, hurt. And the Lord kept coming back to me going, Andrew, it's going to tether you to your past and you will never move into your future. You'll never do it. Set fire to it. Because I'm watching over every bit of your life. I have put this incredible righteousness and holiness and the ability to be a man of God in your life. Now, don't screw up over that. Let it go. Burn it. Some of us have got to burn the plows. It might be leaving behind your past failures. I'm not good enough. It might be your disappointments with other people and with God. It might be guilt. It might be a sense of shame derived from habits that are in the dark. It could be just your attitude. Unforgiveness, fear, pride, whatever it happens to be. I want to say in terms of people's jobs, I believe that, you know, we did take a step a number of years ago to leave a perfectly good career in teaching and in banking to do what we felt God was speaking to us. But you know, before we took that step, because people, it's about changing the outside things. What God had to do was deal with the passionless and purposeless approach that I often took to my job. Before God moved on the outside, often I approached my job with a lack of passion and a lack of purpose. Just paying the bills, oxen bum, day in, day out. It was a good job. It was steady. It was all that kind of stuff. And God said, actually, Andrew, before I can move you on, we need to deal with your lack of purpose and your lack of passion for what I've caught you in right now. Could be that. Maybe some of us need to burn that attitude and say, God, tomorrow morning, if I have got a calling of God in my life, I'm going to go into my work and I'm going to be salt and I'm going to be light. I'm going to speak up instead of falling back. I'm going to be a man who is not afraid, or a woman, to stand and to talk about the promises that you've put on my heart. I told you last week about my failure to pray with somebody in the street because I chickened out. Man, I kicked myself. We believe in God as a healer and I'm dealing with this person and my own pride got in the way. Well, it didn't get in the way this week. Don't let passion, a lack of passion and a lack of purpose keep you tethered to a past when God's calling you to a great future. Take the promise of God, mix it with faith, Hebrews 4:2. Take affirmative, positive action and just wait till you see what God will do. I think the thing for me is this. I think the Holy Spirit is probably speaking to you already this morning. This is about surrendering to the Lord and saying, before I can go forward, God, I'm going to have to deal with some of the stuff that's been holding me back. Sometimes we just put it to the back of our minds, isn't it? When you feel angry with someone, you go, it's all right. As you take communion this morning, I want you to put that front and center with the Lord and say, help me, Lord, to burn this so that I can move forward. Because here's what my very last point. It may seem drastic, but the real risk is not burning what holds you to the past. The real risk is staying in your old life of the ordinary and the mundane. That's the real risk. It's important to count the cost of burning the plows, for sure. Whatever it is in your life, count the cost before you burn it. I counted the cost before handing in my notice to my boss, because there is a cost. Primarily for us, it was financial. You kind of do that first month afterwards, you go, whoa, no salary. Oh yeah, that was part of my old life. You know, and you kind of, did I really think that one out? You know, that was an interesting journey. But for us, we had to count the cost of not burning what tethered us to the past. And the cost of not doing it was much greater than the cost of doing it. What if, of all the sad things that could ever be written, who wrote that quote? The whole thing of what if. I want to say to you this morning, this is about a greater authority and confidence in God than you will ever know if you burn your plows. It'll be a greater purpose as you do everyday tasks, a greater fullness, greater depth, and greater experience of God's love and compassion and mercy in you and through you, a greater influence and impact on your world, a greater experience of the fullness of God in his presence and in his power. The sacrifice of burning is great, but the rewards are even greater. You know, this week, you can go back to looking at oxen backsides, a steady and familiar as that is. Why don't you take a risk with the Lord this week and say, you know what, I'm going to burn that which is tethering me. I'm going to live for that purpose that you have called me for. I'm going to live knowing that you watch over every bit of my life. You've provided for me at every step of the way. And I'm going to clothe myself in your righteousness, in your truth, in your promises that give me confidence. And I'm going to step into my future.